We'll continue in our series in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll be bouncing around like we've been doing because our attempt at Proverbs at this point, which is the wisest thing to do, because Proverbs speaks about a lot of areas of our life, and it speaks in such a way that it covers a gamut of issues. So we are going to look at how it uncovers certain issues and what it speaks to them. We spent a while in the first 9 chapters just slowly walking through the father's instruction to the son. From 10 on to 31, the father continues to give these proverbial statements, right? These little proverbs of wisdom. This morning, we're going to look at our words. Perhaps if you're like me growing up, you heard this phrase quite often. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, this ancient playground proverb has been used to deflect the harsh words, right? The bully and the mom or the dad says, hey, don't worry about it. But we all know, we all intuitively know, it's simply not true. Our words often hurt us worse than physical pain. And now, I understand the desire to move beyond the hurtful things that people say to us or they say about us. But brothers and sisters, we cannot overstate the power that is in our words. Proverbs, and all the Bible for that matter, address frequently what flies out of this small but yet powerful tool. This morning, we're going to look at our words. The reason we're doing that is because Proverbs looks at our words. We're going to look at our words by first understanding what happens when we speak, then look at misuses, and then look at proper uses of our words, and then we're going to end with an understanding of where our words come from. Let's get started. What happens when we speak? Proverbs presents to us that the effect on our words, or the effect that our words have on others, it tells us in Proverbs 18:21, the power that lies in our words. Listen to this, and it's up on the screens as well. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, this is what Proverbs presents before us. Of what happens when we speak. Notice the contrast, death and life. So death and life reside in one of the smallest muscles in our body. Now, many of you perhaps have already made this jump to the New Testament in your brain, but James 3, right? Remember that? Verses 1 through 12, it affirms this power. Remember, it likens the tongue to a small spark that sets a forest, or perhaps in our context, a desert, ablaze. We've seen quite a few of those recently. Though the spark is small, it's tiny, it is destructive. You know, Proverbs carries it a little bit farther and says, matter of fact, the power that is within the tongue is not only destructive, but it's as destructive as death. Now, I don't have to convince you this morning that there's power that lies in our mouth. I don't think that you are needing to be convinced this morning that there is, yes, indeed, a significant thing that occurs when we speak. But it's worth reminding us this morning that there is no denying the power that our mouth has. In this particular text, it likens it to death or life. Because just as much power it has to destroy, it can bring and build people up. I mean, think about this just for a second. Think about the greatest moments of history. It often is sparked by words spoken at just the right moment in history to bring about change, and sometimes to bring about life. Consider just the Reformation. Remember Martin Luther's words when he was pressed to deny our most fundamental belief of justification by faith alone and Christ alone, by grace alone, which interestingly enough, that actually brings life everlasting, when he was pressed to deny those most fundamental beliefs that we hold dear, those words that mean something to us, he says these words, and they have echoed through the corridors of history. Here's what he said: I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. These words, alongside words that he wrote down in what has been called the 95 Theses, these words sparked a massive reformation that we, if you're unaware, hundreds of years later, that we benefit from, that we gather around this morning. Words were used to bring about change, that in the end, these particular words draw us towards everlasting life in Christ alone. I mean, do a little bit of search through history. I did it this week, and it was fascinating because I love good speeches, whether it's evil intent or, well, I don't really care about the evil intent, but a well-crafted speech. You should look through history, and you will find words all over the worst moments of history that moved a people towards evil deeds. But you'll find words all over history in the best moments. There is no denying the power in our words, in our tongue. And I'm sure you don't have to be convinced of that. But Proverbs goes to great lengths to remind us frequently of what flies out of this thing on our face. Well, perhaps you go, okay, Pastor, I get it. There's power in my tongue. Well, how does Proverbs instruct us then? If the tongue has that much power, then how am I to use it? I perhaps should be careful in how I use this powerful tool that the Lord has given me. Well, if we take the words of Proverbs, let's start first with death and maybe get a little bit more specific and see the misuses and the warnings that Proverbs offers to us about our words. Well, a list of some of the misuses are lies, false witness, sowing discord, sometimes the whispering, it uses that analogy, arguments, three, insults and slander, gossip, rumor. You're like, oh yeah, I've experienced some of those before. Those are terrible misuses. Proverbs mentions flattery, bragging. It makes plain the smooth tongue of the adulteress, drawing the young son into sin. But you know what is fascinating? Out of all those misuses, the most attention is given to lies, false witness, or sowing discord. This actually becomes a major, major emphasis of the father to his son. This misuse is of particular interest of Proverbs because of its terrible effect. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 is really probably one of the more clear and concise statements on this issue. Listen, or you can see it up on the screen. Verse 16 of chapter 6, here's what it says. And you got to love the way that Proverbs does this sometimes. I kind of like this. I don't know that I'll ever speak this way, but I kind of like it. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. It's like, why didn't you just say 7 to begin with? I don't know, maybe dramatic effect. But nonetheless, there's 7 things that the Lord just doesn't really like very well. He goes on to list them. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Here we see that the Lord is not pleased when we use our tongue for deceit, lies, false witness, and perhaps the most foolish of them all, intentionally sowing discord amongst the family of God. If we're just going with sheer facts here, 3 out of the 7 things the Lord hates. Now, I just want you to catch that word. Hates, not strongly dislike, but hates. 3 of the 7 have to do with how we use our tongue. it gets the most attention in this concise, short statement. If you think words that fly out of your mouth are no small issue, then this morning perhaps for you is a wake-up call. Not only for us gathered here, but those watching. Perhaps this morning is a wake-up call to you to remind you of the power, or perhaps for the first time to tell you that your words matter. What comes out of our mouth is no small issue. God has given you, us, power, and that power is housed in one of the smallest members of your body. Use it well. Wield its power, not for destructive uses. Now, many of us, oh yeah, I don't lie. Let's just be mindful. Lying is bending the truth. Or yes, it can be an outright falsity that's used to sometimes harm others or sometimes to better present ourselves to others. At the end of the day, it goes against truth. It goes against what is right, and it is in the end destructive. This could not be more opposite than our Heavenly Father who tells us the truth, who speaks to us rightly, straight, and clear. To lie is to go against everything that the Heavenly Father is about. The damages that has and is caused by a lying tongue is tremendous. It destroys all who are in the wake of them, and some of you have had to sit in the wake of falsity about you. You've had to sit in the wake of lies spoken about you. Not a fun time. And some of us have been the ones causing the wake behind us. You know, and I'm sure we all have our stories, but I watched a movie recently that showed the devastation of this particular use of the tongue. Lying, false witness, sowing discord. The movie was titled Just Mercy, a great movie to watch, where false witnesses had been breathed out, that lies had been told about an innocent black man solely upon his color. Now, it makes you, at least it did me, it makes me cringe, it makes me super uncomfortable to see people use their tongue to tell lies that in this particular case was actually leading to death, the death penalty to be specific. Willingly using their tongues to speak about a man who had done nothing wrong. The movie then depicts the untold misery that this man was put through, but it goes on to show how the truth years later was uncovered, and when the truth was uncovered, guess what it did? It gave him life. Oh, there is power in the smallest member of our bodies. Proverbs warns us greatly about the result of using our tongue this way. Here are just a couple of the warnings. One, beating. Yes, I said beating. It warns us if we misuse our tongue that, hey, guess what? It just might bring about a beating. You don't believe me? Let me read some scripture. Proverbs 14:3. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Here's another scripture, chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Now, here's a funny story about this scripture that I've told some of you. Now, believe it or not, when I was a teenager growing up, that I spoke to my mother not in the most pleasant of ways, all right? I wasn't using my tongue to be very kind and nice to her, and the phrase that we use is, you're being a smart aleck. That means I'm using my tongue, I'm saying things that I should not be saying to my mother. So, here I was, and I became a Christian at the age of 13. The Lord had gripped my heart, but we've all got this remaining sin, right? So I was speaking to her, being rude, and she said, you know what? You go to the Bible right now. You look up verses about your tongue, about your speech, and see what it says. I just so happened to stumble upon Proverbs 18:6 that says, a fool's lip walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. I literally laughed very loud when I came to that verse, and I went back to my mom and said, Mom, I think you know what you're doing here, huh? It was so funny, and all these years that has stuck with me. And isn't it true? Isn't it true that we can use our mouths to rise people up in such a way that it makes us walk into a fight that never had to happen? And my mom was always quick to remind me of that verse every time I started to misuse my mouth. You're inviting a beating. Okay, Mom, you're right. A couple other warnings is that your mouth can ensnare you. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgressions of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. You know, have you ever heard that other proverb, honesty is the best policy? Well, here's why. Because it'll save you a world of trouble. It is best because if you begin to lie, use your tongue for foolish ways, it will entrap you. So honesty is indeed the best policy. I mean, what kid has not considered a lie over the truth when they've done something wrong? And if I made you show your hands, I suspect we'd all be there. Haven't you been there as a kid? You've done something that dad said not to do. You did it anyway. The undesirable result happened that he said would happen. So you're like, oh, what am I going to say? And haven't we been, we've all pondered the lie a little bit, haven't we? What are we processing when we're pondering the lie? We're considering, how big of a trap might this be? And perhaps I can finagle my way in such a way that I can get away with this one. Well, once you go forward in your transgression, in your lie, you trap yourself. I mean, and many great comedies play out this truth, don't they? As you watch the main character try to cover up each lie with more lies. Perhaps it's never more true, that phrase, oh, what a tangle web we weave. Once we practice to deceive. That's truthful. You know why? Because God's word says it too. That your misuse of your mouth will entrap you. We could talk for a while, but Proverbs goes on and says ruin. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare, there it is again, to his soul. The tongue has power to ruin our lives if we let it be used for evil ways. Lastly, we've already said this, but death. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of a righteous feed many, but fools, understanding the fool's lips, they die for lack of sense. The point here is that if the lips of the righteous feed many, then the lips of fools bring death to themselves and the many who listen to them. Oh, there is power in our tongue. But death is not the only power within the tongue, within our words, but life is present there as well. Proverbs moves from, at various times, of talking about the negative, the death, to the life that the tongue can bring, the usefulness of it, the results when we properly use it. Now, as you do a search through the book of Proverbs, as to be expected, as much as Proverbs talks about lies, false witness, sowing discord, it speaks the same amount about telling the truth, speaking noble things, sharing what is right, not being twisted in our speech, but straight. Meaning there should be no hint of a slight twist here or there, but we are, as Proverbs tells us, to guard our tongues. We are to properly use them, and a proper use is to speak gently and graciously. Well, there's a drastic difference for some of us at various times in our life. Well, the proper use, according to Proverbs, is to guard it, to speak gently and graciously. But let me be clear, speaking graciously, it does not exclude speaking the hard truths. Because Proverbs goes even further and tells us that another proper use, after you've got gentleness down, after you've got graciousness down, that a proper use of our tongue is indeed a rebuke. It calls it an open rebuke. Proverbs 27:5-6. I'm getting choked up here with my own words. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Isn't that true? Better is the open rebuke than the hidden love. Faithful are the wounds. You've heard this scripture before, I'm sure. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Don't you love that imagery? It is waste. It's like a waste that sits in the dump. That's what kisses from an enemy are. Brothers and sisters, it's right for us to properly use our tongue, to speak words to others, our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters, that might cause a few wounds, that might put the relationship under a little bit of strain. It is right to do that. But we do that. We communicate that love when we are gentle, when we are gracious, when we are guarding our tongue as we speak to others. We're gracious, we're gentle when we speak those harsh truths. You don't have the luxury of just excusing away your harsh language by saying, I'm just telling the truth. You know, Proverbs doesn't let you get away with that. But it doesn't let you get away without telling someone the hard truths, perhaps, of their actions. But you have to understand, Proverbs gives us a wealth of instructions. Graciously, gently. But it also tells us to understand that those words are to be spoken at the appropriate time. I love this verse. It has come back to me so many times. It may not be up there, but Proverbs 25:11. Listen to this. A word fitly spoken. I just like the word fitly. I just feel like I want to say that a lot. Fitly. A word, that is my southern, fitly. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Well, let's be honest, though. It takes restraint. It takes love to patiently listen, right? Because a fool doesn't gain understanding. They just want their opinion out there. But we know that Proverbs says there is a proper use. But why don't you first practice restraint, patiently listen. This is the only way to get a word fitly spoken. I've got understanding. I've listened. I've watched your life. And here's something brand new. I've prayed about it. These things would move us to a moment to fitly speak. To speak at just the right moment. And brothers and sisters, when you do, it's valuable. The words spoke at just the right moment is worth more than gold. It's worth more than gold. Another proper use of our tongue, of our words, is to advocate. This is really fascinating to me. As I was studying and prepping, I thought, what a fresh word for us this morning. Proverbs 31:8-9. Here's what it says. Open your mouth. So it's saying this is when you should speak. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Well, here's a proper use of our tongue. The Christian community needs to heed these words and consider their implication. It is wise for us. Why is it wise for us? One, because the Bible tells us, but secondly, we have God's truth. And we are a people who have been radically changed, who can go in a calm yet passionate way. And we can speak on behalf of those who cannot. Those whose rights have been stripped away. Those who need us. This, alongside many reasons, is why abortion is on the tongue of the believer. Why? Because we're speaking for those who cannot. This is why social injustices are often championed by Christians. This is why the racial tension of the day is heavy on our hearts. This does not mean, though, hear me clearly, this does not mean that every social ill, every political issue becomes our mission. No, our mission is clear. We make disciples by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we bear witness to the effects of the gospel on our lives. That's our mission. But we cannot remain quiet when evils happen around us. But we speak to them with gospel clarity. We offer a greater hope, not just problems being fixed, but in hearts being changed by the power of the gospel. And there's going to be more to come on this later in the series because, interesting enough, Proverbs deals with injustice. It's wise for us to say, what do we do? Aren't we asking those questions right now? I know I am. What do we do in this season and climate of the world around us? Well, there's more to come, more that Proverbs gives in terms of instructions. What are the results of using our tongue properly? Well, let's see. One result is healing. Now, we're just going to spend a little bit of time here because this verse, oh, it is glorious. I'm a words person, so this is like, ooh, I love this. Words matter. We know they do. I think about words all the time, but this particular verse is incredible. Listen or look at this beautiful verse. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Did you catch the result of using our tongue properly? Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Now, like we mentioned last week, honey was considered very, very valuable. Well, for us, we just go to the store and we buy it. But in those days, it was valuable. It was so expensive. It was a rare gift to give to another person. But when you did, they looked at you and go, wow, thank you. It was valuable. It was rare. It had medicinal qualities to it. So to have some honey was to have something special and very helpful in one's life. Words, gracious words, are compared to that. This verse goes so far as to make gracious words the honeycomb itself. The honeycomb itself that drips the sweetness, that drips the healing. You see, words can be a glorious gift we can give to one another. Have you ever considered your words as a gift to someone else? Have you ever considered your words as a stuff that kind of comes and goes? And not that material gifts are bad, they communicate something. But maybe it's worth it to sit down and sweat over some words that you could give to someone else. Parents, consider writing a letter to your daughter right now about your prayers for her, about the beauty you see inside her. Consider telling your son how you feel about him and what you see in his character. Spouse, speak words or write them to your spouse, communicating their worth and how you see them in light of God's work in their lives. Church member, tell another member how you see God in them, how you see the effects of the gospel in their lives. Kiddos, perhaps tell your mom and dad every now and then how much they mean to you and how grateful you are that the Lord has given them to you, even if you don't like it sometimes. Might be a good gift to mom and dad. Church members, we can give this to each other, and when we do, it is sweetness to our souls, meaning that those words have the potential to uplift the downcast soul. It has the power to pick them up out of the pit and help their soul to put its feet down on solid ground. When you speak gracious words, it can be healing, repairing a broken place in their heart, giving them hope. When you speak gracious words full of God's word, they can begin to see that the pain they now feel is and will soon be eclipsed with the love of Christ. Oh, I hope you're convinced. Our words matter. Just ask the adult who was given harsh and hateful words as a child. Those words don't go away easily. And what's amazing is that same adult can be healed with the sweetness of gracious words. Perhaps a word like this. I can't think of better words than Jesus himself saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't those sweet words? Not only are they sweet, aren't those healing words that wash over us in powerful ways? You know, that's sweetness to my soul. That's healing to my bones. You know, I had the privilege of serving as a youth pastor for 10 years. You know, I saw this on display every time we gathered as a student ministry. Do you know the hardest student, hardcore, over time, showered with gracious words, showered with God's word, even though it might have been tough for them to hear, well, they opened up. I can see in my office right now a young man sitting across from me whose parents had abandoned him. We make our way to Psalms 24:10 that says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You should have seen his face. Those words overwhelmed him. Well, I don't know that we have to be convinced our words are powerful, but here we are. Talking about them again. But if words are so powerful and words are so important, isn't the next best question, well, what's the root of our speech? Where do they come from then? I mean, isn't that the question of the hour? Where do our words come from? Where is their root? Where are they formed? Where do they begin? You might be saying, well, that's easy, Pastor, the brain. Not according to Proverbs. Proverbs gives us a little bit of insight of where our words originate from. Chapter 12, verse 23, it states this, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaims folly. The fool's words can come from the heart. Then chapter 16, verse 23, it says this, the heart of the wise speaks or makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. I'm here to tell you, there's no escaping it. From the overflow of the heart comes the speech. Now, I'll give you, it's possible to hide the heart with our words. We can do that. But eventually, it will shine through. Here's how Proverbs 26 says, like a glazed covering on an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips. He harbors deceit in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, using his words to cover it, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. One day, it will all be plain. Now, if Proverbs does not convince you that the root of our words is our heart, perhaps the words of Jesus himself could confront you this morning. Matthew 12:34, he says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? He gives us a clear principle. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, words reveal our heart. So the power of our tongue, death or life, is determined by the condition of our heart. Here we are again. Words reveal our heart. The power of the tongue, death, or life is determined by the condition of our heart. Just like a thermometer that reads the temperature in a room, our words are the heart's thermometer telling us the condition of our heart. Words are the heart's thermometer. What spews out of your mouth? Is it cold, harsh, lifeless words of hurt? Or is it hot, intense anger, full of rage and hate? Consider what your words are telling you about your heart. Perhaps to push the analogy further, if words are the thermometer, then the heart must be the thermostat. So how does it get changed? How does it get pushed in the right direction to produce a temperature, to produce words? A temperature that brings cool air to refresh the weary soul, to bring warm air to comfort the tired soul. Aren't we in desperate need of that? But we know the tongue is not so easily tamed. James 3 reminds us of that over and over again. Verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. It likens to getting the tongue under control to perfection. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Ooh, this is a restless beast in our mouth. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So difficult is the tongue to tame, it requires a heart change. In Matthew's gospel in chapter 3, he addresses again those brood of vipers. Who are they? Those individuals who Jesus just told the scripture we looked at that they're evil. They can't speak anything good because their hearts are evil. Well, chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel offers them, the brood of vipers, their only hope. Here it is. You ready for it? Repent and believe in Jesus. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? This is how the heart is changed. And in the end, this is how our words are changed. See, this is how that occasional outburst of anger or that rude comment, this is the only way that it'll be followed up by sweet healing honey of words spoken and admitting wrong, seeking forgiveness, because they only come from a heart that is set upon the Lord, a heart that has been changed, a heart like a thermostat that can turn the temperature of our words towards healing, towards gentleness, graciousness, a fitting rebuke, truthfulness, straight words with no crookedness. You see, we don't have to lie to cover up our inadequacies because the gospel has told us the Lord loves us. We don't have to brag on ourselves anymore because we are a child of God and that is enough for us. If your words are the thermometer, what is the temperature of your heart? Is it evil or godliness? The heart can only be changed by the person and work of Jesus. This morning, it is a time for us to consider our words and what are they telling us about our heart? And if we are children of God, there is great hope for us. And as we lean into the gospel more, into the person and work of Jesus, our heart is changed, the thermostat is moved, and our words become honorable in the sight of the Lord, and they begin to have an impact in this church. They begin to have an impact in all of our lives. But it comes down to where is our heart? Let's pray. Father God, this morning I'm grateful for the truth of your scriptures. I'm grateful for how penetrating your words are. Lord, they reveal to us the condition of our heart so often, and oftentimes we don't necessarily care for it, but we know it is what is good for us. Father, this morning as we've talked about something that we all know to be true because we've experienced it, might you remind us the power that is in our tongue, but might that move us down to our heart, understanding if we ever have any hope of what flies out of our mouth is to surrender our lives, our hearts to you more and more. Father, might we be a people here at Light in the Desert Church who are gentle and gracious and speak words fitly in the lives of those around us. Might our boldness come from a belief that your words can actually change someone, not our words, not our opinions, but your words have the power to move the heart. Might we cling to it ourselves and might you change us so we can be people who are honorable in your sight. Lord, in a season like this when everything is falling apart, maybe we can't give our presents to each other like we like. Maybe our income isn't where we could buy little things for each other, but we can freely give our words to one another. Might we labor hard in how we speak to one another. Father, as we sing, help the truths that we will sing together pierce us, change us, and form us into your image. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.